You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about an industry that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. I'm Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation. I'm joined by my co-host, my colleague, and my friend, Jessica Hibbard. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Bill.
How are you today?
I'm great. Enjoying Chicago. We're meeting a lot of really amazing retailers. We are here for Retail's Academic Symposium, hosted by the NRF Foundation, and it's been great so far.
Yeah, we're just a block off of the Magnificent Mile, Michigan Avenue. Walk down there, and if the crowds are any indication, retail is alive and well.
Yes, indeed.
We are so fortunate to be joined today by Chris Baldwin, the CEO of BJ's Wholesale, and who serves on the National Retail Federation's Board of Directors. He's a member of our Executive Committee. Chris, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Bill and Jessica, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Chris, your career story. You're in retail, and yet you've done a lot of different things. Tell us about that, and tell us how you ended up where you are.
Sure, Bill. I had the good fortune of starting my career as a consumer products person. I started at Procter & Gamble in the mid-80s and worked in consumer products for 25 or so years. And I had an opportunity in 2009 to go to work to lead the Hess Retail Corporation, a chain of convenience stores and gas stations up and down the East Coast. And I was the CEO of that business, and it was a wonderful experience. We ultimately were acquired by Marathon Petroleum, who owns the Speedway brand. And soon after that transaction closed, I left that organization and went to work at BJ's Wholesale Club, where I've had the good fortune to work with our 25,000 associates for the last 2 years.
How many stores do y'all have?
We have 215 stores in 16 states up and down the East Coast at BJ's Wholesale Club.
That's fantastic. So as the CEO of a large retailer, you have a unique perspective. What are you focused on, and what keeps you up at night?
What we try and work really hard as an executive team to do is provide strategic clarity to our 25,000 associates. We're a value-oriented retailer who delivers great options for our 5 million members. And our ability to be really clear to make sure that our associates know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it is a critical part of leading an organization of this scale.
You know, I'm sorry, Jessica, I don't mean to be dominating this.
All right, go ahead.
But, you know, a lot of your members, I'm assuming you say 5 million members, are a lot of those small businesses?
There are some, sure. We largely serve consumers, but about 5 to 10% of our business is also small businesses.
Right.
So we serve both consumers and small businesses, and we think the small business proposition for our company is a significant one moving forward. So we're thrilled about the possibility of serving them even better.
That's great.
So what are some of the other things that you are working on aside from maybe growing the small business portion of your business? Are there other initiatives that you're starting? What can you tell us about what's ahead for BJ's?
We're a retailer. We've got plenty to do. So we think about our value, our position in the industry as a value-oriented retailer. What makes us different is that we sell more fresh food per member per year than our club store competitors. So as a result, we tend to get more trips. So we think about ourselves as a high-frequency club store. So our fresh business is the centerpiece of our strategy and something that's really important that we deliver excellence on every single day. We also have had some really terrific growth prospects come our way. So our B2B business is really important to us. We're investing significantly in that. We're also seeing as apparel becomes more and more value-oriented, our apparel business, we believe over time, can double. We have a large, healthy, profitable, and growing apparel business. Last year, we comped apparel 8%. This year, we're comping apparel 10%. And we think over the next couple of years, we can double our apparel business. So we're working hard to make sure that we do all the work necessary to do that well. We also see a terrific opportunity to continue to work on the assortment we have in our clubs and play around with different ways to deliver value to consumers. So we have an increasing focus on using our clubs as learning labs so we can figure out new ways and approaches to deliver value to consumers.
Cool. Well, can you tell us a little bit more about the learning labs? Are there specific things that you experiment with, or and how do you report those results and implement them across a number of different stores?
At some level, given the amount of change going on in the retail business in the United States these days, every retail company is a bit of a perpetual experiment about how to deliver to increasingly complicated consumer propositions. In our company, if you step way back, over the course of 10 years, our general merchandise selection and the way it was laid out to consumers hadn't really changed. So our general merchandise team has completely changed the way our clubs are laid out. We used to ask people to go up and down aisles. And we, in our in a big portion of our clubs today, our general merchandise assortment has fewer items, but they're arranged in quads on the end of aisles. So there's more air in the section and people can walk around. And as a result, our general merchandise business is growing in the high single digits.
Wow. It's cool how, I think this is really interesting about retail, how you can make small changes and implement them and see like really remarkable results. So I love the idea of a business being a continual experiment.
We think all the time about failing small.
Yeah, right? No, it's very smart.
Because like every other retailer, nobody has the margin room to fail big.
Yeah.
So we learn a lot and we try and implement what works and move away from the things that don't.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, you know, retailers like to talk a lot about the culture of their business, the culture of their company, of their associates. What is the BJ's culture?
It's one of service. We speak a lot about our 5 million members and our role in their lives. In the macro, Bill, we serve a member that makes $75,000 to $85,000 a year, plus or minus. Both parents tend to work and they tend to have a couple of kids. So we save them 25% a year on their grocery bill. So our role in their lives matters. And in that light, we think really hard about doing what matters through their eyes, not through ours. And so our company is a culture of service. And as we have done well, we can also do good. So we think really hard about things like how do you take a philanthropic role in areas like Feeding America and things that help teachers educate our children more effectively. So as we've done well, we've been able to be much more aggressive in that regard. We just made $1 million donation to Feeding America, and we've made it up to $2 million of donations to choose.org, an organization that that gets money to teachers who don't have the right supplies to teach their children.
Very interesting.
That's awesome. So the whole focus of this event where we're recording these podcast interviews is about bringing new talent into retail and making sure that people in academia know what to tell students about retail. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about talent development at BJ's. Are you promoting within? Are you actively seeking people outside the organization? How do you help employees develop and grow in your company?
Yeah. The answer is yes, yes, and yes. One of the things we have to do as a country is make sure people are more prepared to make positive contributions in the workforce. As a the industry represents 1 in 4 jobs in the United States, almost 42 million jobs. It's a very important part of the American economy, as Bill said as he opened the show. So at BJ's Wholesale Club, we have 215 clubs, and the general manager role in our company is the most important role in our whole company. And a little more than a third of our general managers started as hourly employees. The opportunity we have for people to grow and develop in our company is significant. We've also made pretty significant investments in employee development. But one thing that's particularly important to me is the ability for women to grow and develop in our company. Our diversity numbers overall at the highest level are good. But the development of women at the highest level of our company is not as good as it needs to be.
Same with every company.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a big group of our executive team out at an event for the Network of Executive Women in California this week. And we're working really hard to understand the things we can do as a company to help women grow and develop more rapidly in our company.
That's awesome.
So, Chris, taking off the BJ's hat for a second.
Yeah.
National Retail Federation board hat for a moment. Put that on. We've heard a lot about the challenges facing retail today. We read a lot of headlines that I would go so far as to say are misleading to some degree, maybe to a very large degree. But there are challenges. You know, some would say that we're overstored. Some would say that the challenge that some retailers didn't anticipate in the digital space is having an impact. From your perspective, you're reading the same stories. What do you think?
The industry is in a massive transformation. I think as a practical matter, you know, with 25 square feet of retail mall space in the United States per capita versus the rest of the developed world, closer to 5 to 10 square feet per capita, our country is overstored. And that's going to take a while for it to shake out. And that certainly has dominated the headlines. But if you step way back, the big numbers are retail has grown ahead of GDP for a long time. And in the most recent 20 years, the retail industry has grown 3 to 4%. The big transformation is that about three quarters of that growth over the last 3 to 4 years has been online versus in brick and mortar. And I think the industry is working, as we both know, we're working really hard to be front-footed with all of our constituents about the role retail plays in the broader economy. And I also think it's a terrific opportunity for academics like the ones we spoke to today to think differently about our industry. At our company and in many companies, we're hiring more data scientists than we are stock boys. And as the world becomes increasingly digital, we need people who think bigger and think more quickly in order to be as successful as we want to be. So I think the employment opportunity is significant for people who are willing to take the leap and join an industry that is transforming fairly rapidly.
The important part about that, I would assume, is it's easy for us to tell that story, but there are people that are in the industry that can tell that in a very compelling way. When you go out and you recruit and you send your team out, do you utilize the voices of success that you have in your company to tell that story of opportunity that exists at BJ's?
We do. One of the things that I think the retail industry has great opportunity to do is do a better job of talking about the responsibility people can get quickly. In our company, I said earlier, in response to one of Jessica's questions, more than a third of our general managers started with our company as hourly associates. Those jobs pay a lot of money. They're big, big businesses they run with a lot of people. So they're big challenges. I also think that the opportunity to get more responsibility more quickly is something the retail industry can uniquely provide to students who are willing to put the time in and develop some capability.
I think that's really interesting. We ask everyone who comes on the show about their career story, and that's something we hear over and over again is that, you know, they're running big businesses at young ages, that they climbed the ranks quickly. And I think that's something that's really remarkable about retail is that people have opportunities and hard work is really recognized in the industry.
It absolutely is.
What are the personality traits? I mean, if you were to make a composite of a successful retail employee, what are those aspects of their personality, of their of them as a person, that make them successful?
The pink unicorn.
We'll find that one someday, I'm sure.
We are in constant search of the pink unicorn. I think these days that the and one of the things I spoke to the folks I spoke to earlier today was a couple of core capabilities. One is analytic capability. Analytic capability is something the retail industry is investing deeply in. There are several large-scale global retailers who are, as I said earlier, hiring more data scientists than they are stock boys, as they look to understand deeply how consumers are behaving so they can do a better job of meeting those consumers' needs. So analytic capability is one. The other one is the ability to relate to other people. Ultimately, we're in the people business, and that's a trite thought. But at the end of the day, people who can relate to their teammates every day, whether in an office setting or in a retail setting, will be more successful than those who can't. And then the third thing that I think young people who want to start in the industry can be really successful in is the ability to move quickly. I remember longingly the days where we used to write 5 and 10 year strategic plans. And I think strategic plans come and go in 3 and 4 months now, because the world is changing so rapidly.
Right.
So strategic agility and the ability to move quickly are also paramount to one's ability to be successful.
You know, the only other thing I would add to that probably, from what I've seen and from my perspective, not being in the business on a day-to-day basis and certainly not running a major company like yours, but is passion. I mean, you've got to be passionate about your job. You've got to love what you do. You've got to love to give back, to interact, and to lead. And I think that the thing that I've seen in the leaders that I have met in the time that I've been with the NRF is they're all very passionate about what they do and who they do it for.
Enthusiasm matters.
It does. It absolutely does.
The lack of enthusiasm will kill a good idea, and the presence of enthusiasm could make a not so good idea work.
Exactly. Right.
And as a practical matter, our ability to be enthusiastic about the challenges, but the opportunity and the opportunities ahead is a fun part about working with the NRF.
Absolutely.
So we're about out of time. However, we have got to know, if people want to learn more about BJ's, where should they go?
Yeah, go to BJ's.com, and we have a terrific opportunity both for consumers and for employees, potential employees, to take a look at what we have to say.
Excellent. And there's one part of this program, I almost spoiled it earlier by telling you about it, and then I realized what I was about to do, so that's why I turned around and just walked away. So I didn't mean to be rude. But anyway, it's called Rapid Fire. So we're going to ask you a few questions, and we want you to tell us the first thing that comes to mind. So are you ready?
I'm not sure, but I'll go for it.
All right.
Enthusiasm. It's important.
I'll be enthusiastic.
Go ahead, Jessica.
What's the last thing you bought in bulk?
Laundry detergent.
All right.
Pizza or burgers?
Pizza all day long.
If you could have brunch with anyone living, who would you invite?
My two daughters and my wife.
Aw.
If you could tell your 25-year-old self anything, what would it be?
Chill, it'll be okay.
Something we'd all like to tell each other at 25. Yeah.
I think I need that advice now.
Who doesn't?
Last question. A friend going on vacation calls Chris and says, do you have a recommendation for a book? What would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. Cain and Abel.
Well, Chris, can't thank you enough for taking time from your schedule to join us on Retail Get For Real. It was really an honor to have you here.
It was great to be here, Bill. Thank you to you and Jessica for having me today.
And thanks to all of you out there listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you, Bill. It's been real.
Chris, thanks again.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.